Hi, I'm Brian from Olathe, Kansas, and you're listening to WGXC Akron 90.7 FM.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Kyle of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, April 5th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Former President Donald Trump was indicted April 4th on 34 felony counts in Manhattan, and one local politician was there to cheer him on. Dutchess County legislator Benjamin Geller, a Republican from Hyde Park, tweeted from outside the courthouse, quote, "Today, to no surprise, I was one of two elected officials in New York to show up today in support of President Donald J. Trump," unquote. The other New York elected official there was George Santos, the Long Island congressperson accused of a host of lies. In January, Geller announced that he will not seek re-election in November to his Dutchess County office. The Altamont Enterprise reports that burned Democratic committee members have withdrawn their support for Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple, who is running for re-election in November. Burn resident and former supervisor Kevin Crozier, a Democrat, was removed from a public hearing last month by county deputies because the current town supervisor, Dennis Palo, a Republican, ordered the deputies to remove him from the February 20th public hearing. Democratic committee member Peggy Christman, a retired lieutenant with the state police who lost to Palo in 2021, wrote to Apple on March 6th saying it was Apple's, quote, "responsibility to make clear that your deputies did not act appropriately," unquote. Apple did not write back. So the Byrne Democratic Committee will not carry petitions for Apple for his fall campaign. Apple did not get back to the Enterprise for a comment, nor did he explain why his deputies forced a citizen out of a public meeting in February. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that every member of the Legislative Women's Caucus during Women's History Month every year recognize an outstanding woman from their district for exemplary character and leadership, and State Senator Michelle Hinchey chose Greene County Veterans Service Agency Director Michelle Romlin-Lindeo this year. Hinchey said, quote, "Michelle has served and protected our country with great courage, and upon returning home from military service, has devoted her life to supporting our veterans here at home, changing lives and strengthening our communities in that work. Michelle makes history as the only woman to lead a countywide veterans agency in Senate District 41, and the Legislative Women's Caucus Women's History Month recognition is the perfect opportunity to ensure that her legacy of service is rightfully acknowledged and celebrated," unquote. Romlin-Lindeo served in Operation Desert Storm, Operation Desert Shield, Operation Southern Watch, and the NATO Operation Deny Flight. Now she oversees the Greene County Veterans Transportation Program. She is also an EMT with the Town of Coxsackie Ambulance and a volunteer firefighter with the Caro Hose Company. There, she received the Firefighter of the Year Award in 2022. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And Jeannie Maschino reports in the Berkshire Eagle that Routes 23 and 41 in South Egremont will be reduced to just one lane of traffic in the westbound lane beginning Friday, April 7th through approximately July 10th. Highway workers are repairing a deteriorated culvert between the Egremont Village Inn and the Great Barrington Town Line. Around July 10th, the entire road will be closed for 72 hours to install a new culvert. Traffic will be rerouted around the intersection then. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, April 5th. Regional average soil temperature is 44 degrees. Pollen levels will be low today and also tomorrow. Local early morning temperatures range from 42 degrees in Tannersville to 50 in Copaig. And that is where things should linger all day, with almost no sunlight to cause a change. Winds about 10 miles per hour put conditions at chilly. Grab a jacket and maybe an umbrella. Rain chances arrive at 6 p.m. Overnight, rain slowly gets stronger with some potential thunder after midnight. Temperatures rise to 51 degrees by dawn. Then Thursday will be rainy with some lightning and a high temperature of 69 happening at 2 p.m. Overnight, rain comes to an end and we see a low of 43 degrees. Friday is looking dry and windy with a high of 57, and it looks like we have a chance for frost on Saturday and Sunday mornings. We're not quite there yet. Today's river temperature will be 44.7 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Once we get to about 50 degrees and water exposure survival time is over an hour, I'll bring the tide schedule back. Patience, friends, it is coming. Sunset today will be at 7:10 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:27 a.m. Looking way up, we see a little disappointment for aurora watchers as no CMEs are expected in the immediate future. Although sunspot 3270 is ready to pop like a balloon and it's looking right at us. X-class flare chances are at 5%. Solar wind speed is currently 487.9 kilometers per second at 10.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair below 860 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 44, and this has been the Better Weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. See you all tomorrow night at 7.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
All right, let's get started, please. We have an arraignment to get to.
Good to see you.
I need you to do me a big favor.
What's that?
Would you endorse me?
I'd rather go skiing with Gwyneth Paltrow.
We're live in 3, 2.
We are back. So way the f*** back that I'm joined now by 2024 presidential nominee, newly indicted former fake president, Donald Jessica Trump. You are currently the subject of multiple criminal investigations. Would you say that's hurting your campaign, or does anyone give a shit anymore?
Well, if you listen to the fake news media, it helps. Because they're all saying it's a scam. Even people that don't like me are saying this is a terrible thing to do for a country.
You mean Melania?
I don't know how you can talk about me when they don't talk about Joe Biden, because what he did is so bad.
Girl, you need to update your act. This is your comeback slash indictment tour. People don't want to hear the same old songs.
I may have made a mistake.
MAGA is so 2016. What you need is a fresh campaign slogan.
Let's give it a shot.
Something catchy, you know, like your chlamydia, but that really also reminds people what you're all about. Pitch me some ideas.
So it's massive election interference.
That is catchy, but maybe too on the nose.
I have the right to take stuff.
Better, but it needs more oomph.
Russia, Russia.
Russia?
Russia.
You've done it. It's tired.
I mean, the people know me. I think that's why I'm going up during this hoax that's taking place in New York.
Honey, I think you're going down.
He was a sleazy showbiz phony born in NYC, who somehow won the White House over Hillary. Then after one term got the sack, when Biden pummeled his ass
but now he wants to come back. He's been indicted though, and so he's making scenes. He's the grumpy Trumpy felon from Jamaica in Queens. He met a lovely lady who performed on screen. She started yapping in 2016, and so he signed a bunch of checks.
I didn't do it.
Cause he's disgusting, and so he had to pay her for sex. Looks like a butternut squash, and his hair is bleached. He's the bloated orange lunatic who's twice been impeached.
A bum, a bum, a bum, but a bum, a bum.
He loves to rally his mobs. He's such a user, he can't win a race unless he cheats and he robs, cause he's a loser.
I have the right to take stuff.
He makes Melania puke, and girl, we all agree, he's the dumpy MAGA mascot of the GOP.
Yeah.
He's a bootlicking little boy for the old KGB.
Black boy.
And when his dame say no thank you, sir, he likes to grab him by the pussy. Pussy.
It's true.
And boy, he's broken just about every single law in the book. He's a cheater looking Gucci snatching treasonous crook. Oh, girl, he's just a petulant slob. He can't dance for and he can't hold a job without sedition. And Republicans back up all his fuckery. He's a grumpy, Trumpy, dirty line, autocratic, loony, toony, wacky, tacky, Valentine of Vladimir P.
Look, here's a letter from Stormy Daniels saying we never had an affair. I did nothing wrong. I never had an affair with her. It's all made up.
Demolishing the country's how he gets his kicks. He tried to stage a coup on January 6th, and now he wants to run again.
Girl, really?
But can he run from the feds before he lands in the pen? They're bringing charges now, so yeah, he's in a sitch. He's a braggadocious, whiny little traitorous bitch. He was a sleazy, showbiz, phony, born in NYC, who somehow won the White House over Hillary. Then after one term, got the sack. Biden pummeled his ass, but now he wants to come back. He's been indicted, though, so he's making scenes. He's a racketeering, Putin-loving piece of garbage, chicken-livered bunker boy whose father never loved him, so he's damaged and a deadbeat, phony, lying insurrectionist with psychopathic tendencies. He's twice impeached, incompetent, a law-obstructing, narcissistic, incoherent criminal, and grumpy, Trumpy felon from Jamaica in Queens.
Here is 2023 new music from Greene County's Elizabeth LeJudas. She plays in the Dust Bowl Fairies, and this is a solo track. She's also a WGXC programmer. The song's called Anthropocene Anthem from Liz LeJudas on WGXC.
The moonlight's glow in the snow and the free. To never know precious treasures like thee.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Under New York State law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about.
During a news conference on Tuesday, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg outlined the 34 felony counts against former President Donald Trump for falsifying business records. The case involves a hush money payment made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election over an alleged affair. Trump recorded the transaction as a legal expense. Bragg alleges Trump repeatedly made false statements on New York business records and caused others to do so as well. In court Tuesday, Trump pleaded not guilty to all 34 counts. He later spoke at Mar-a-Lago and took shots at Bragg.
The criminal is the district attorney because he illegally leaked massive amounts of grand jury information for which he should be prosecuted, or at a minimum, he should resign.
Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene gave a speech at a rally across the street from the New York courthouse in protest to the indictment of former President Trump alongside the New York Young Republicans, a group with ties to white nationalists.
Not the United States of America. We have to take a stand against the injustice, the corruption, and the communist Democrats.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre declined to comment on the criminal investigation, but did say it is not a priority of focus for the administration. Following President Biden's meeting with the Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, the president said it remains to be seen if artificial intelligence poses dangerous risks, but stressed tech companies have a duty to ensure their products are safe before they are made public. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed an executive order Tuesday which grants members of the LGBTQIA plus community equal access to health care services in the state. Murphy says the order comes as many across the nation are experiencing attacks that undermine equality, dignity, and safety.
I'm incredibly proud of the work our administration has done to put New Jersey at the forefront of the LGBTQIA plus rights, including expanding legal protections.
Murphy said the executive order establishes New Jersey as a safe haven for gender-affirming health care. During a luncheon, children's author and Key West resident Judy Blume criticized Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for banning topics from being discussed in schools and said teachers and librarians are under fire and threat.
They are criminalizing teachers and librarians. It's not just that they're threatening their jobs, they're threatening them. They could go to jail. And all because they stand up for the rights of the students they teach.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our HRUST indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Is the U.S. Supreme Court where challenges to racial gerrymandering go to die? In 2 months, the court refused congressional racial gerrymandering cases from Kansas and Mississippi, and we await decisions in Alabama and North Carolina cases. Nothing less than the voting power of Black Americans is at stake. Kansas legislators split Metro Kansas City into different districts to dilute African American voting power. Voters and democracy groups sued under the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, lost in the Kansas Supreme Court, and now have reached a dead end at the U.S. Supreme Court. In February, SCOTUS declined a Mississippi case where districts were gerrymandered to deprive African American voters of adequate representation. In a state over 41% Black, only one in five Mississippi congressional districts was a majority Black district. Two racial gerrymandering cases, which were heard by the High Court, are still pending. Merrill v. Milligan challenges maps in Alabama under the Voting Rights Act, where the legislature should have drawn two majority Black districts but didn't, claiming redistricting should be race blind. A reconsideration in North Carolina may make Moore v. Harper moot, but observers think Alabama's gerrymandering is likely to be upheld, opening the door to even more manipulated maps nationwide. We have links to articles and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Miss yesterday's minute? Ask your smart speaker to play the American Democracy Minute. I'm Brian Beal.
That was Unrest with I Do Believe You Are Blushing from their 1992 album Imperial FRRR on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hi, everybody. My name is Isabella LaFord. Today, I'm here with Professor Rajani Bhatia, and we are going to be discussing bird safety and the effort to bring the doula training to both the University at Albany students and community members. So, Professor, how did you get involved in this effort with the doula program?
So, BirthNet, which is an organization that has worked on childbirth education and advocacy around childbirth issues and has been around for quite a while, had not been particularly working in the area of birth justice, but this really was a precipitating event, like a catalyst, right? To because many of them are birth workers, many of them are midwives or doulas or work in childbirth education. And so they were alerted to these new statistics, and they sort of took the lead in the community to start a coalition of groups. And as part of that, I started working on a project called the Albany Birth Justice Storytelling Project. And so I would have been on and off, been involved with members of the coalition, but in particular, members of BirthNet, as I developed a community-based participatory action research project. And it involved students from the University of Albany, and it involved members of the community who were telling their stories about birth. And so the point of that study was really just to get to people's stories about their birth experiences as something that was much more tangible than the statistics alone. So what were people actually experiencing as they went into childbirth and postpartum? So in that context, I learned that BirthNet was moving forward in 2019 with a doula training. And that was the first doula training that they organized. And it was predominantly for doulas of color, members of the community in downtown Albany. And they had ancient song doula services from New York City come and do that training. And so this current effort is really building off from that. And this time we're trying to not only involve members of the community, but also make this a possibility, this training available for University of Albany students as well.
So for the next question, why are doulas important to mitigating racial disparities in maternal and infant health outcomes?
I mean, this, so besides all of the actual like health indicators that have been shown to improve with having doula support during childbirth, it's also very clear that the experience of childbirth is vastly different just by having this advocate at your side, this support, this concrete support, and perhaps all the more so if you are terrified to enter hospitals because you're aware of all of these disparities to begin with, because you've heard of, you know, horror stories from your friends or people in your community about what they experienced when they were in the hospital. And so it's really critical to a lot of people to be able to just have somebody by their side, almost regardless of the outcome. And this was really telling to me because during our Albany Birth Justice Storytelling Project, we had one woman who told us a comparative story about her experience with two different births. The first one, she had, you know, just normally in a hospital, it ended up in a C-section. By her own account, you know, a horrible experience. She didn't really understand what was happening. Things weren't explained to her. And then the second time around, for her second child, she had a midwife assisted birth, and it wound up also in a C-section. So the outcome wasn't necessarily different, but in her telling of the story was completely different. She made this decision to go in for the C-section in a way that was informed. She felt like it was her own decision. She felt like her agency wasn't robbed in the process. And mm-hmm. She walked away from that birth, you know, with a very different feeling about it and about herself in the process. And we think that those things really make a difference. And so it's, you know, even though, you know, there's sort of that thing that people say, the saying, well, you should be happy as long as you have a healthy baby. We know that that's important, but that's not the only important thing. The experience of childbirth is very important, and it shouldn't, we should be able to, be able to make decisions about the kind of care we want, and be able to birth in a respectful, in a context that's respectful.
So how does having an intersectional identity of being a minority and a woman affect experiences at the doctor and birth giving?
There was some research that was done, particularly on Latinx groups, because it, tendentially in the past, their indicators were not that different from white women, but that changed dramatically, apparently after in the third or fourth year of the Trump presidency, because of a lot of the racism that was experienced, the anti-immigrant racism in particular. And so it's interesting to see, how different groups are affected, by birthing in the United States. And we've seen also, interestingly enough, immigrants coming from Africa, their indicators might be fine with their first birth, but having, lived here in the country for a while, then, the disparity set in. And so certainly with the next generation, you can already see that they lose any kind of advantage that they might have had when they first arrived. And basically, scholars don't know how to explain that other than the impact of racism.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for our final question, it is, what is the status of the program right now and the collaboration with UAlbany?
So the program has started. It is a service that is being provided by Mama Glow in New York City. It is going to be run for a 6-week program every Sunday for 3 hours. And it is an online synchronous program. And afterwards, there is a 1.5 day in-person training that is also attached to it. We are hoping, we've requested the University at Albany administration to minimally provide space so that we could conduct that in-person training at UAlbany. What we know is that there's just not enough doulas trained, but we had 140 students and faculty members support this effort. And around 59 students explicitly expressed a desire to do the training. So we know that there are a lot of students, potentially many more than the ones that we were able to reach in that short petition, who would love to do this training. It's one of University at Albany's signature strengths is to work on eliminating minority health disparities. And I think this is an ideal program because it represents a collaboration, a very strong collaboration between a community organization and the university. So I think that there's a lot of potential to grow this program, and I really hope that the University at Albany considers supporting it more concretely.
So that's all. Thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners?
No, if you're interested in training as a doula, feel free to contact either myself. I can certainly put you in touch with BirthNet, or perhaps we can put up the website for BirthNet as well. Is that possible?
Yes, I'll attach it.
Perfect, perfect. All right, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Here is 2023 new music and radio art from Leah Cole, Chicago-based artist who plays the cello and the radio. You can hear her tuning in and rocking out on the 2023 album The Ceiling Reposes. This song is called When Glass Is There and Water.
Here's Sonic Youth with Antenna.
Thank you. from the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that Greene County, despite recently building a new jail, is spending money sending female inmates to other county jails. The county's 2023 county budget was allocated $100,000 to pay other counties to house female inmates, while the women's pod at the new jail is empty. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden says a shortage of corrections officers that, he says, is caused by stringent requirements is why the county is sending local taxpayer money to other counties. The story says, and I quote, in 2021, the county paid $70 to $75 per day for each inmate boarding at a separate facility, end quote, but does not say how long Greene County has been sending female inmates to other facilities. Groden argues that Greene County is just sending the money to other counties that they would be spending themselves here. Groden said, and I quote, the county's boarding expenditures are no greater than the amount it would need to pay to keep the women's pod open. The county will not see a budget deficit, end quote. Taxpayers are paying back the $39 million bond Greene County took to pay for the new jail that they are now partially not using. Groden said the new jail averages 40 inmates a month, but needs at least four more corrections officers to be fully operational. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Liz Montgomery reports in Porcupine Soup that Catskill High School reopened April 3rd after the building was closed last week because of a leaking pipe. On March 31st, the Catskill Central School District announced, and I quote, CT Mail Associates, who conducted the air quality sampling in the high school, has informed us that it is safe for students and staff to return to the building, end quote. The leak came from the science classroom, and Superintendent Melissa A. Barrow said, and I quote, although our high school teachers are very vigilant about what goes down into the drain, we wanted to be 100% sure there were no chemicals in the soil and also wanted to do testing of the air quality, end quote. Read the full story in Porcupine Soup. Saba Ali reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that the Northern Dutchess Residential Healthcare Facility, also known as the Thompson House, is closing, laying off 102 people. Nuvance Health says the closure of the Rhinebeck Nursing Home is because of, and I quote, substantial impacts, end quote, of the COVID-19 pandemic. The facility's 38 residents will move to other care centers. Thompson House Interim Administrator Richard Cleland said in a news release, and I quote, it has not been an easy decision. The facility has provided excellent care to many people over the years. We only reluctantly came to this decision based on the difficult landscape facing nursing facilities today, end quote. The layoffs began on April 20th with employees getting, and I quote, unconditional payments, end quote, equal to their normal pay and benefits for 60 days in line with New York State law. Assistant Dutchess County Executive Ronald Hicks said of the layoffs, and I quote, we have a workforce shortage, especially in the healthcare industry, so it is my hope that these individuals will be quickly absorbed into Nuvance's network or the healthcare industry in the community, end quote. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, there will be a chance of showers. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 51 degrees. Then showers are likely before 1 a.m. on Wednesday night. Then possibly a thunderstorm between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. Then showers and thunderstorms after 2 a.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 48 degrees. And on Thursday, showers are likely mainly between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 69 degrees. And Thursday night, a chance of showers before 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 40 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. In Greene and Columbia Counties. WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509. 212-7509.
That was Alice Coltrane with her 1971 song Journey into Sachidanada from the album of the same name with Pharoah Sanders.
Dream when I want you in my arms when I want you and all your charms. Whenever I want you, all I have to do is dream when I feel blue in the night and I need you to hold me tight. Whenever I want you, all I have to do is dream. I can make you mine, taste your lips of wine, anytime, night or day. Only trouble is, gee whiz, I'm dreaming my life away. I need you so, that I could die. I love you so, and that is why, whenever